Está sintonizando KBOO Portland, tu radio comunitaria, a través del 90.7 FM KBOO Portland y en línea a través de KBOO.FM.
You're listening to Community Radio
KBOO Portland.
Thank you. أهلاً وسهلاً and welcome to Arab Voices on Houston's Pacifica Radio, listener-sponsored commercial-free KPFT 90.1 FM, with live streaming, podcasting, and online archive previous shows at both kpft.org and arabvoices.net. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. This show is also syndicated, and it airs on other radio stations in different states in the U.S. Today on Arab Voices, we will talk about the latest Israeli annexation plan of the Jordan Valley in the occupied West Bank, Palestine, and listen to some remarks about that from different officials, including UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, Dr. Hanan Ashrawi, member of the Palestine Liberation Organization's Executive Committee, Dr. Riyad Mansour, Palestinian Ambassador to the United Nations, Dr. Riyad Al-Maliki, Palestinian Foreign Minister, and South Africa's Deputy Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, Alvin Boots. And we will also read a letter that was sent to the U.S. Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, and signed by 13 members of the U.S. Congress. This letter is written by Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez about the annexation. So while the whole world is busy fighting COVID-19 pandemic, Israel, and despite the fact that it has been also hit by COVID-19, never stopped planning and executing its colonial project in Palestine, with the latest plan of annexing around 30% of the occupied West Bank. This, of course, comes as a no surprise to anyone because of Israel's known and ongoing Zionist colonial activities on daily basis in Palestine for over 100 years. Since 1917, Israel has been working on expelling Palestinians from their land and at the same time bringing Jews from around the world and placing them where Palestinians used to live. Ongoing home demolitions, expansion of Israeli colonies on Palestinian land, extrajudicial executions, building an apartheid wall that divides Palestinian towns and villages, theft of natural resources, and a whole lot more. The 22% of historic Palestine, and that is the Gaza Strip, West Bank, and East Jerusalem, have been occupied and controlled by Israeli occupation forces since 1967. And that 22% of historic Palestine contains 250 Israeli colonies that have nearly 750,000 Jews living in them on stolen Palestinian land. And to continue its colonial project in Palestine, Israel announced that it will be annexing 30% of the occupied West Bank, the area of the Jordan Valley. By the way, in 1980, Israel annexed occupied East Jerusalem, and in 1981, it annexed the occupied Syrian Golan Heights. The Jordan Valley that Israel is planning to annex makes up 30% of the West Bank and constitutes half of its agricultural land. The Jordan Valley connects the West Bank with Jordan. The Jordan Valley is the lowest point on Earth. It includes the Dead Sea, which is about half a mile below sea level. Around 65,000 Palestinians live in the Jordan Valley, and around 11,000 Israeli colonizers live there on stolen Palestinian land. With the Israeli annexation of the Jordan Valley, it would completely surround the Palestinians because the West Bank's only international border is with Jordan. If Israel annexes the Jordan Valley, the entire West Bank would be completely surrounded by Israel. Many countries across the world have rejected the illegal Israeli plan to annex the Jordan Valley. The United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, called on Israel not to proceed with its plans to illegally annex occupied Palestinian territory, saying it would have a disastrous impact on human rights of Palestinians and across the region. She said, quote, annexation is illegal, period, unquote. She also said any annexation, whether it is 30% of the West Bank or 5%, I urge Israel to listen to its own former senior officials and generals, as well as to the multitude of voices around the world warning it not to proceed along this dangerous path. Bachelet said the precise consequences of annexation cannot be predicted, but they are likely to be disastrous for the Palestinians, for Israel itself, and for the wider region. She also said, as many others have noted, any attempt to annex any part of the occupied Palestinian territory will not only seriously damage efforts to achieve lasting peace in the region, it is likely to entrench, perpetuate, and further heighten serious human rights violations that have characterized the conflict for decades. Last week, on June 24, 2020, the United Nations Security Council held a session on the situation in the Middle East. Here is what the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres said on the Israeli annexation plan.
Excellencies, I address you today with a deep sense of concern over the evolving situation in Israel and Palestine. We are at a watershed moment. Israel's threat to annex parts of the occupied West Bank has alarmed Palestinians, many Israelis, and the broader international community. If implemented, annexation would constitute a most serious violation of international law, grievously harm the prospect of a two-state solution, and undercut the possibilities of a renewal of negotiations. I call on the Israeli government to abandon its annexation plans. The Palestinian leadership has reacted by considering itself absolved of all bilateral agreements with Israel and the United States. Increased economic fragility as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, reduced donor support, and the recent Palestinian decision to stop accepting clearance revenues that Israel collects on behalf of the Palestinian Authority risk increasing the hardship of the Palestinian people. As I said in February, when I spoke before you and President Abbas in the Council, you have my full commitment to continue supporting Palestinians and Israelis to resolve the conflict and end the occupation in line with international law, relevant United Nations resolutions, and bilateral agreements. The goal is achieving the vision of two states, Israel and an independent, democratic, contiguous, sovereign, and viable Palestinian state, living side by side in peace and security within secure and recognized borders based on the pre-1967 borders with Jerusalem as the capital of both states. I will continue to consistently speak out against any unilateral steps that would undermine peace and the chances for resolving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict through meaningful negotiations. Such actions also further hamper efforts to advance regional peace and to maintain international peace and security. I urge Israeli and Palestinian leaders to commit to meaningful dialogue with the support of the international community. I encourage regional and international supporters of the two-state solution to help bring the parties back to a path towards a negotiated peaceful settlement. I call on fellow members of the Middle East Quartet to take up our mandate mediation role and find a mutually agreeable framework for the parties to re-engage without preconditions with us and other key states. Leaders must act wisely and swiftly and demonstrate the will to advance the goal of a just and lasting peace.
That was UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. Let's listen in to the statement of South Africa delivered by Deputy Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, Alvin Botz.
72 years ago, we spoke about a catastrophe, a period in Palestine history known as the Al-Nakba, when more than 700,000 Palestinians were forced to abandon their homeland and seek refuge in neighboring countries and abroad as a Jewish state came into being on Palestine soil. Today, 72 years later, it will seem Palestinians are facing another imminent catastrophe as Israel is set to advance legislation to annex parts of the West Bank and Jordan Valley from as early as the 1st of July 2020. These threats and pronouncements of annexation are in stark violation of international law, disregard for international humanitarian law, disregard for the United Nations Security Council resolutions including Resolution 446 of 1979 and Resolution 2334 of 2016, which agreed upon parameters for peace and further undermining any prospect of peace between parties. Mr. President, for more than half a century, the world has stood by and watched as Palestinian land, olive grove by olive grove, village by village, town by town, has been lost. We have witnessed the daily suffering of Palestinians as they are subjected to the continued construction and expansion of illegal Israeli settlements on their rightful land. We have watched as Palestinians had to endure systematic discrimination as opposed to settlers who are provided services and allowed civil liberties, such as freedom of movement and the issuings of building permits, right denied to Palestinians living in the occupied territories. Moreover, Mr. President, we have observed as Palestine land and property was seized and livelihoods snatched away and destroyed, despite being on the right side of the law, as determined by international law and numerous United Nations General Assembly and Security Council resolutions. We have borne witness as violence, riots, and civil disobedient campaigns have swept across the West Bank and Gaza Strips, as Palestinian people have engaged in the struggle for the inalienable right to freedom and self-determination. We have looked on as men, women, the elderly, and children have been victimized, assaulted, and detained. Mr. President, we have looked on as the humanitarian situation has continued to deteriorate in the Gaza Strip. Palestinians continue to live in unacceptable, precarious circumstances where the movement has been restricted, where they have been given limited access to water and electricity, and they deprived of the basic human rights you and I take for granted on a daily basis. We have also witnessed the occupying power restricting access to educational and economic opportunities. Additionally, at a time when the world is facing a global pandemic with the spread of COVID-19, the Palestinian people have to contend with a severely overburdened and already fragile healthcare system. We have also unfortunately seen the reduction of contributions to the UN Relief and Works Agency, which for decades has been providing basic social and humanitarian services to Palestine. Mr. President, it is said that history has a way of repeating itself, yet it will appear that we do not learn from these turbulent and painful, unjust historical events which continue to shape our own present. My own country, South Africa, has in its past not been spared these injustices. When one people is assigned a higher value above another, this unfortunately runs at the core of the occupation of Palestine, and it threatens peace, stability, and security, a collective value that is at the core of the United Nations, which is commemorating its 75th anniversary this year. Yet we have to ask ourselves, what is the reason the attack of the Security Council if we continue to look away in another direction, adopt hollow resolutions, and ignore current resolutions and fail to act against those that so arrogantly defy the very principles that this organization has been founded on? Israel, the occupying power of Palestine, has consistently illustrated through its action a total disrespect for legality and justice. This is once again evident in the Secretary General's 14th quarterly report on the implementation of Resolution 2334 of 2016, in which there are detailed accounts of continuous settlement activity by the occupying power, despite the intentions as adopted by the Security Council resolutions, such as Resolution 2334. In this regard, South Africa concurs with the observation by the Secretary General that, and I quote, the establishment and expansion of settlements fuel resentment, hopelessness, and disillusionment amongst the Palestinians and are key drivers of human rights violations and significantly heighten Israeli-Palestine tensions. Therefore, their intended annexation is of more Palestine land should be regarded as the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. It is time that Israel, as the occupying power, be held accountable for its illegal actions and consistent violations of international law and resolutions of this council. To date, the Security Council has taken no action to stop the building of settlements on illegally occupied land or to stop the confiscation and destruction of Palestine land and property and to stop the illegal blockade of Gaza. This Security Council's inaction has carried on for far too long, and in doing so has failed the people of Palestine. How can we expect to remain credible and call on parties in other areas of conflict on the Council's agenda to abide by and implement resolutions or face further Council action when we seemingly condone the actions of the Israeli government by failing to act against its violations? Mr. President, it is our submission in South Africa that we should be ashamed of ourselves. We should be ashamed that on our watch we have ignored and denied Palestinians their basic human rights and aspirations. We should be ashamed because of our silence. We have protected the oppressed instead of the oppressed. We should be ashamed that decades later a lasting and just peaceful resolution of the continued occupation remains as elusive as it did in 1948 when this matter was first brought to the Security Council. We should therefore ask ourselves what messages it is that we are sending to those who are fighting for the inalienable rights to freedom, self-determination, and sovereignty, and those that oppress and deny these rights. Mr. President, allow me to reiterate that South Africa will continue to support all efforts aimed at establishing a viable, contiguous Palestine state existing side by side and in peace with Israel, within internationally recognized borders based on the 4th June 1967 with East Jerusalem as its capital, in line with all relevant UN resolutions, international law, and internationally agreed parameters. In this regard, peace can only prevail once both parties engage in inclusive dialogue and constructive negotiations without preconditions, as this is the only means to ensure lasting peace, security, and stability. Additionally, there must be accountable mechanism in this dialogue to ensure that commitments made are actually implemented. To this end, a viable and sustainable peace plan for the Middle East must ensure that the sovereignty of the Palestine, their territorial integrity and economic viability is guaranteed, with sovereign equality between Palestine and Israel. I thank you very much, Mr. President.
That was Alvin Boots, Deputy Minister of International Relations and Cooperation for South Africa. The Palestinian Foreign Minister, Dr. Riyad al-Maliki, also spoke at the United Nations Security Council.
Mr. President, Excellencies, members of the Council, we often use the image of a crossroad, as we did today, to explain how significant a moment in history is. It means your next decisions and actions will determine the course of history and the fate of nations. There is no doubt this is such a moment. For now, unfortunately, the driver is Israel, and seems it will not stop at the crossroad to assess the implications of its choices, because it is drunk on power, propelled by infinite impunity, motivated by one single thought that it has been under the influence of for decades, grabbing maximum Palestinian land with minimum Palestinians. Israel is under the illusion that this is the destination, and once it reaches it, it will be able to enjoy the view. It ignores that the road cannot end there and continues downhill towards an escalation of the conflict due to an oppressive regime combining colonialism and apartheid. It does not care that humanity has been down this road before, and that former colonial powers and liberation movements alike have all reached the same conclusion. Such a regime cannot prevail and will only lead to more injustice, instability, and insecurity. As many times before, Israel seems determined to ignore that big red stop sign the international community erected to save lives. Israel thinks, as has been its experience so far, that it will not be fined or arrested. It believes that Security Council resolutions are binding for others. International courts have jurisdictions over others. Sanctions are for others. Israel judges but cannot be judged. The only true bias towards Israel is the one shielding it from accountability and emboldening it by considering its illegal actions as so-called realities that need to be endorsed rather than reversed. Israel is testing the resolve of the international community, thinking its colonial appetite will prevail over the collective international will to advance regional peace and security and to preserve the rule-based multilateral order. We must prove it wrong. The international community remains committed to the rule of international law and to the international consensus on a just solution for the Palestine question. It opposes annexation in no uncertain terms, as reaffirmed in recent weeks by statements made from capitals from every corner of the globe. The global position also remains unwavering on the legality of Israel's policy, including settlements. This wide international front, reflected in the gathering in the Jordan Valley just 2 days ago, with broad Palestinian and international mobilization, in the UNRWA ministerial meeting held yesterday, and in this high-level Security Council meeting, is strong and remains our best hope. Mr. President, members of the Council, Israel needs to know that annexation will have immediate and tangible repercussions. That is why we have called on the international community to adopt effective measures, including sanctions, to deter annexation and all other unlawful policies that have prepared the ground for it. It must also be made clear that annexation will irreversibly impact Israel's relations with Palestine and the region. The Oslo Accords were supposed to transform us into peace partners, but regrettably, Israel continued waging a war against Palestinian lives and Palestinian rights. It has violated the spirit and letter of the agreements, and with annexation is taking a decision that will defeat their very purpose. These accords were supposed to pave the way for an end of occupation and a final peace agreement. They cannot survive annexation. As we celebrate the 75th anniversary of the UN Charter, let us honor the UN purposes and principles. Respect for the principle of equal rights and self-determination of peoples, respect for human rights and fundamental freedoms for all without distinction, the suppression of acts of aggression, and the prohibition of the threat or use of force against the territorial integrity or political independence of any state. Annexation, whether partial or total, gradual or immediate, is the ultimate breach of the UN Charter and cannot go unchallenged. From a legal perspective, annexation is not only unlawful, it is a crime under the Rome Statute. From a political perspective, it will ruin the chances for Israeli, Palestinian, and regional peace. From a security perspective, it is utter nonsense, as it replaces internationally recognized borders that can be defended with a system of military control and subjugation that only fuels conflict and violence. It is, as stated in the Secretary General's report, calamitous for Palestinians, Israelis, and region. The only explanation for it is an extremist ideology rooted in denial of the Palestinian right to this land, disregard for international law, and negation of history. It is this ideology that has undermined negotiations time and time again, with Israel using negotiations as cover for its continued colonization. This ideology fostered a narrative that Palestinians should be grateful that Israel was ready to give them back any part of their own land, fragmented and besieged enclaves. And to stance that Palestinians may even be allowed to call a state of their own. Genuine negotiations must aim at ending occupation to achieve peace, not at perpetuating occupation and calling it peace. We, the Palestinians, remain committed to peace. We have presented our position in writing on all final status issues to the Quartet. We have never retracted any proposal we have made to find a compromise. Unlike Israel, which says we must renegotiate all over again with each new government in Israel. We have accepted the long-standing terms of reference and international law as the basis for negotiations, while Israel has rejected and violated them. We accepted the pre-1967 borders, agreeing to an historic compromise encompassing only 22% of historic Palestine. And yet, Israel has spared no effort to undermine these borders. The entire world recognizes the significance of the Arab Peace Initiative and the promise it holds for our region. Where is the Israeli Peace Initiative? Even with the U.S. plan, Israel said it is ready to grab immediately whatever parts of our land the plan unlawfully grants it, while expressing readiness to negotiate the rest indefinitely. This is why we call for an international peace conference and the multilateral mechanism that will help advance peace by holding the parties accountable, ensuring negotiations are neither a smokescreen nor a time-wasting exercise while Israel finalizes its colonial plans, but rather that negotiations are the path to just and lasting peace. While Israel spares no effort to erase the pre-1967 borders, the Green Line, the world must consolidate them, including by recognizing the state of Palestine and by making any unilateral encroachment over the Green Line a red line. Every state has the power to help us change course before it is too late. The power to help end the Israeli occupation and salvage the two-state solution. The power to save lives. The power to preserve our global order. In fact, they have a legal and moral obligation to use this power through non-recognition and non-assistance to illegal actions, distinction, and accountability. Upholding their obligations is the only path to ensure Israel abides by its own. At the end, allow me, Mr. President, to thank you for convening this important meeting. I also wish to express our appreciation to the Secretary General for his report and relentless efforts and those of his envoy to advance peace. If Security Council resolutions, including 2334, were implemented, peace would be a reality tomorrow, even today. Allow me also to seize this opportunity to thank the Secretary General of the Arab League and the ministers for their participation today as a clear signal of the urgency and gravity of the matter. I also wish to thank your country and council members, past, present, and incoming, for their consistent, principled stances, including against annexation. Allow me finally to thank the countries and the groups, including the Arab group, which has been fully mobilized in the lead up to this meeting, the OIC, NAM, the EU, that continue working to advance freedom, justice, and peace, conscious of how this could transform our region and the world. Mr. President, the Secretary General in his report highlighted the urgency of reversing this dangerous trajectory we are on. We are at a crossroads, and to reverse course before it is too late, the international community must take hold of the steering wheel. Thank you, Mr. President.
That was Dr. Riyad Al-Maliki, the Palestinian Foreign Minister, speaking at the UN Security Council. A separate United Nations forum was held on the question of Palestine, threats of annexation, and the prospects for peace. Dr. Hanan Ashrawi, member of the PLO Executive Committee, spoke at that forum, and this is what she had to say.
Annexation has been a continuum of injustice. If you remember, I mean, the settlement enterprise began in the 70s, 1970. Jerusalem was annexed in 1980. So Israel has always been in a sort of creeping annexation, sometimes galloping annexation, but it's been unilateral and de facto, with the exception, of course, where it legislated for the annexation of Jerusalem and later on for the Golan Heights, the Syrian Golan Heights. So the whole concept, the whole essence, I think, of the Israeli settler, colonial settler and enterprise is annexation and expansion. The difference right now is, I'll discuss this later, is the fact that it is attempting with this coalition government to legislate openly for annexation, even though it has been doing it peacefully, legislation to give the settlers powers and so on Palestinian land. The other thing are prospects for peace. The prospects for peace have been dealt a death blow. I'd say the peace process has been moribund for a long time, and it's probably dead now because of a variety of reasons, which we can discuss later. But, I mean, you cannot talk about prospects for peace when one side has been systematically dismantling all the building blocks, all the components, all the requirements of peace, using power politics, using its ability to control the situation on the ground and acting absolutely unilaterally and outside the domain of international law and international humanitarian law. So we are now at a situation that has been in the making for some time. Every time I came to New York and discussed this with you, I said these are critical times. Two things are needed: accountability for Israel, curbs for its violations, and protection for Palestine and respect for UN resolutions and international law. And so far, we haven't seen these implemented so far. So let me start by saying now, July 1st is an arbitrary date to many people, having Netanyahu having succeeded to avoid going to jail right now, although he's going to be tried. And of course, pandering to the Trump administration and the elections in November. He's announcing that July 1st is the date for annexation, and everybody now is talking about annexation, the date for annexation. We've got to do something. This is drastic. This is serious. Where was that political will as successive Israeli governments, including labor governments, were expanding, building settlements, stealing land, stealing resources, and so on? Now, everybody's is talking about that, and people have stopped looking at the reality on the ground. So what happened now is that the American administration, that was always the patron of Israel and the protector of Israel, has become a partner in crime and the occupation, so to speak. This administration has recognized Israel's illegal annexation of Jerusalem and has moved its embassy there. It has defunded all projects, all programs in Palestine, including infrastructure, scholarships, and so on. It has defunded Jerusalem hospitals. It has attacked UNRWA, attempting to dismantle UNRWA, defunded UNRWA, and has incited against it and tried to redefine the question of refugees and consider them, and is considering them outside, again, the realm of the law and the protection of the law or UN resolutions that define who a refugee is, and the US is involved in that. It has closed down our representative office in Washington, and it has closed down the American consulate in Jerusalem, which was created and established in 1844 as the American diplomatic mission to Palestine. Of course, there was no Israel then, there was a Palestine. And they're rewriting history in the same way as they want to impose their own version of reality on the future. They've dropped the term occupation from the political lexicon as if there is no occupation. They're talking about settlements as neighborhoods or Jewish communities and so on, because they don't consider them illegal, and so on and so forth. I don't want to go into details, but it's very clear that this American administration is not only complicit, it has also entered into a partnership with Israel, whereby its plan, so to speak, is in itself a license to steal, is in itself attempting to impose on the Palestinians the will of the occupier, and trying to tell the Palestinians that you have to surrender, that you have to succumb. And this is the real danger now, is that we are not just dealing with that one occupying power, we are dealing with two. And the U.S. is using all its power and all its weight, I would say this administration and the ones in the U.S., in order to bring about the total demise of any kind, whether two-state or one-state or no-state solution. So the problem also now is that matters have come to a head in the sense that this Israeli coalition government has exploited many different factors, many different conditions. It has exploited the fact that there is a coronavirus. It's a very cynical exploitation in order to speed up its annexation campaign, and in order to talk about the July 1st deadline. It, in itself, this coalition government represents the most extreme racist expansionist coalition in Israel for a long time, of course. It has succeeded in dismantling the opposition and deconstructing any kind of real opposition. It has co-opted blue and white, and at the same time, it has totally marginalized whatever is left of the peace camp. And the Labour Party has succeeded in committing political suicide, so we do not see any real effective left wing in Israel. So it has moved that. And it has also exploited its partnership with the US administration, and is very rapidly trying to create facts on the ground before the elections, in order to, because there is a sort of mutual self-benefit agreement between Trump and Netanyahu, where each one serves the personal interests of the other, particularly in elections now for in November. And of course, it has it is emerging in the context of the hyper ethno-nationalism and identity politics and issues of populism and xenophobia and racism that are coming to a head in many different places in the world, and that are threatening the peace and stability and the global rule of law of the whole world. So this has again enabled and encouraged the excesses of this Israeli government. It is also exploiting the reticence and timidity of the rest of the world, particularly the EU, that constantly issues statements and denunciations and so on, but has not taken any steps or positions, concrete steps, to curb Israeli violations or to hold Israel to account. And of course, it has exploited the UN's inability to implement its own resolutions or to follow through on their own promises, and to bring about the application of their own laws to the situation in Palestine, whether in protecting and providing protection for the Palestinian people or in holding Israel to account, or in any way using any kind of sanctions to tell Israel that there are consequences to their actions. And they cannot constantly claim preferential treatment. They cannot constantly, for example, criminalize BDS as though it's outside the law and it's a form of nonviolent resistance. And they cannot label anybody who criticizes Israel with the label of anti-Semitism, because it's trying to render Israel's impunity as a modus operandi where anybody who questions that impunity is de facto is guilty of being anti-Semitic. This is, I mean, a distortion of the global value system, so to speak. They're in a mad race against time to create facts and apply Israeli law de jure, therefore Israeli sovereignty over parts, they say parts of the West Bank, but 30% of the West Bank is not part, given the fact that they've already annexed also Jerusalem. And these areas are selected in ways as precisely to prevent a territorially viable or continuing Palestinian state on the one hand, but also to control our water, to control our resources, to control our transportation grid and everything else. So this is an attempt at reinventing the occupation through what is called the American, the ultimate deal, or the ultimate deal of the century, or the American plan, which seeks to reposition Israel whereby Israeli security is paramount, where Israel in the region is a major military, political, economic, intelligence power in the region, and the Palestinian question becomes an internal issue for Israel to deal with at will, as the so-called American ambassador to Israel said. I mean, it is up to Israel what it wants to annex and not annex. They can annex whenever they want and whatever they want. So, I mean, I'm sure the irony is not lost on any of you, but the arrogance, the total lack of respect, not just for the other, for the Palestinians and so on, because they're used in a racist way to dismissing Palestinian humanity and rights, but also in the disdain and contempt that they show for international law, for legality and for justice. And the fact that now, I will stop shortly, that now ideology and as I said, hyper-nationalism and fundamentalism, religious fundamentalism, are all seem to trump justice and the rule of law. That's why all these factors have created a situation of extreme danger and threat, which threatens not just Palestine, not just Israel, but also Palestine.
You're tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
The more compassion we have towards animals, the more compassion we're going to have towards other people.
If you can value them all, you really value yourself as well.
So even if you don't care about animals, the things we do